This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Tech Talks. Thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here on this beautiful Thursday evening here in Lexington. Once again, I'm your host, Mitch.
And I'm Grant.
And we are joined in tonight by a special guest.
I'm Anna.
Cool, cool. All right. So, Grant, let's bring us all up to speed. What is our first topic going to be tonight?
Well, I think there's an obvious decision here on what we're going to go with first, and I think it just comes mostly out of the volume of things to talk about that have happened in the past week, all pertaining to a certain particular mobile game that has taken the world by storm and is now one of the most used applications already on the Google Play Store. So that's for Androids. It's already overtaken Twitter in popularity.
Mm-hmm. And Tinder.
And Tinder.
More people are swiping right on Pokemon Go than they are on Tinder.
That's true. That's actually very true.
100% true, actually, because we have the numbers, and numbers don't lie. It's like the commercial says, if you argue with math, you will lose. One of my favorite commercials they've ever done. Anyways, so again, that game is Pokemon Go, and it is the mobile sensation that has taken everybody by storm. Not only are millennials playing this game, being that they grew up with Pokemon, you're seeing parents of millennials starting to play this game.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, and play it with their kids.
My mother plays this game. Colton, our production director here at the station, I think he said his parents were, or his mom was playing it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah, I'm really not surprised by this. But you look at the format of this game. You're looking at a game.
It requires no skill.
That requires no background. It requires no understanding of the mythos of Pokemon. It just requires your ability to move around and take some time in your day to go for a walk. That's really what it asks for.
You're right. And what's really unique is the social aspect that this is
wildly social.
You've seen an amazing, like, honestly, a dumbfounding amount of Facebook groups pop up almost overnight about Pokemon Go. Here in Lexington, in any other major metropolitan area, you're just seeing all sorts of Facebook groups and other social clubs popping up centered around Pokemon Go and walking in groups playing Pokemon Go for safety and for fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's an incredibly social thing because it's so driven around walking. Mm-hmm. And walking in and of itself, you know, you're really not constantly engaged with the game, which I think is one of the advantages of it, is that you don't have to constantly be engaged with it. Mm-hmm. That you can just simply walk around, and it provides you an outdoor social opportunity with your friends.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, Anna, you've been downtown during Triangle Park in the evenings. I mean, it's just nuts how many people are down there, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's ridiculously, it's kind of cool just to see everybody out and about with their friends and meeting new people. And there's just such an openness to just interact with people you normally wouldn't. So that's really interesting.
And that's also the other thing, too, is there are people who are just driving by, strangers walking by each other and just striking up conversations and getting to know people because of the simple fact they're playing this game.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was there 2 or 3 nights ago, there was a guy walking around with a Pokemon shirt, and I know for a simple fact that he got over 100 compliments that night for his shirt.
Oh, I'm sure. And that's one of the things that I've really, really loved about this community so far, and I think above all else this community has to retain, is the charity that exists right now within this group. I think the day that this group becomes hostile within itself, because there is a competitive nature that happens within the game.
But it's a friendly competitiveness.
It is, and that's what's one of the great things about it. But so long as it continues to be this friendly, fun kind of competitive nature, I think we're going to see this community really blossom into something nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, and another thing, too, is I've seen several attempts for people who are playing Pokemon Go show, several attempts have been made to start doing service projects as they do that. Like, go, you know, you and your group of friends are playing Pokemon Go and you're walking around town and you pick up trash. You know, I've seen several people attempt to do that. And, I mean, Anna, the social implications of that are actually really, really impressive to think of how a game like this can mobilize so many people for such a simple thing.
Absolutely. I was even reading through one of my feeds today that there's an animal shelter who's actually promoting people to go on walks with their dogs while they're playing Pokemon Go. So it gives some dogs some exercise, socializes them, and people too. They're seeing parts of Lexington and I'm sure everywhere else that they normally wouldn't go simply because there's rare Pokemon there or anything of that sort.
Not to mention also, it's exposing the dogs, like you said, to more human interaction, and probably, I bet you anything, there's going to be an increase of dog adoptions because people are simply actually going and walking these dogs.
Absolutely.
And they're starting to fall in love with them as they walk around, you know?
Absolutely.
How far is the popularity of Pokemon Go going right now? This is coming directly, as I read it, this is coming directly from the campaign website. Join us as we go to the Pokestop in Madison Park and put up a lure module. Get free Pokemon and battle each other while you register votes and learn more about Secretary Clinton. There is an event happening in Ohio coming up this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That's Poke themed. And it's just wild to me to see this kind of stuff.
Well, it's like overnight, man. Overnight, this game became...
It's a social phenomenon.
It really is. I've never seen or heard of anything like this unifying so many people in such a way. It's just been mind-boggling to see the you know, I bet you anything, sociologists and psychologists are having a heyday with this Pokemon Go craze. Like, the amount of research studies that are going to be popping up this week and next week related to this game are going to be enormous, and I guarantee there's going to be some interesting results for sociological and psychological, you know, studies.
Yeah, I think we're already starting to see the effects of that. I've never been so motivated to take a walk in my life, just to, like, take a stroll around the neighborhood, you know?
Absolutely. It's using all resources that a lot of people have easy access to. They already have their phone and they
have 2 feet.
Exactly.
You know?
And you can play anywhere. You can just go walk outside your front door or go to a park or wherever it is. So.
You can walk around on your lunch break or between classes on campus. I mean, there's...
Not to mention, it's also going to promote travel as far as traveling to different areas and actually taking vacations. Tourism. It's going to promote tourism because... You know, there are a lot of Pokemon, like in our area, it's mostly forest-type Pokemon, things that you'll see that are grass-types, bug-types, flying-types, things that are in your typical forests in-game. If you go to a beach, it's almost all exclusively water Pokemon, with some grass, you know, some plains Pokemon thrown in there. And then if you go out to, like, Arizona and Nevada, where it's really rocky and deserty, there's a lot of rock and ground-type Pokemon out there. And, you know... Just the different regions, if you will, are having their own different little Pokemon subcultures pop up as far as you can only get those types of Pokemon there. So it's promoting travel in that sense. And supposedly they're going to be unveiling in the next couple weeks a trade feature, which will help spread even more Pokemon around as far as, okay, maybe you can't get to Arizona, but someone else has been. They come, you know, from Arizona and they're up here on vacation. You sit down and you trade with them and, you know, you get to interact with them and maybe make a new friend over trading Pokemon. It's honestly, I would say Pokemon Go is the realization of what they wanted. The original Pokemon games that you played on your Game Boy, on your Game Boys and had the trade cables for. I would say that's honestly the realization, the second coming of that philosophy of we want... strangers to be able to unite over this game, sit down, strike up a conversation, interact with each other via in-game and in-person, and make a friend.
Yeah, we've never seen something that inspires the kind of face-to-face interaction that we're seeing here.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I find interesting about it is that a survey came out yesterday, and it said that the average person playing Go is spending 43 minutes per day on the game. Which is a mind-boggling amount of time.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
3/4 of an hour. You know, how many?
That's probably until their phone goes dead.
Exactly.
Let's be honest here.
Absolutely, and I'm just really interested to see because you know they're not done with this game. They're going to continue adding different elements to it. And I'm just really interested to see how it progresses and any changes they make or just ways that they increase the game, because you know that the possibilities are endless. So,
well, and that's like the only Pokemon available right now are the original 150 Pokemon. They've not slated for the second generation of Pokemon to come out on in the game until December. So there's all that Pokemon too coming out soon. And currently the actual game, you know, video game handheld series is getting ready to go into its seventh generation of Pokemon. Yeah. So there's a whole nother, you know, four generations between that they haven't, that they can release as well.
Hundreds upon hundreds. And so to put it to scale, right now there's 133 unique kinds of Pokemon that are available to be caught out in the world. And so we're talking about hundreds upon hundreds more that could potentially be added to the game over time, which is both exciting and kind of mind-boggling to think about, because the 133 already seems like a big mark to hit, but certainly even more than that.
Absolutely.
It would be... How many are there in Gen 6?
I'm not sure. I know the total number of Pokemon, I believe,
600.
It's getting ready to go over 700 here in November.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, let's change gears a little bit and talk about the economic impact of Pokemon Go. The stock for Nintendo has gone up more than 25% in a week.
Which
I'm just going to let you all talk about that for a minute.
Translates to a stock worth of about $7 billion, all stock, which is just mind-boggling. Again, I know that keeps coming up, but it's just constantly surprising me how much of an impact this game is having worldwide.
And it doesn't seem to be dying down. It just continues to increase. And so to see where that takes off, and that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been amazing to me to see just how quickly it's latched on and really even continued to grow. It's not slowing down by any sense.
Absolutely. And I think there's something so nostalgic about it. And just looking at using the original Pokemon, I think that was a really big benefit, just because you're looking at people who started out with Pokemon, the originals, and there's something so nostalgic about that to pull those back out. So I think that was a great move on their part to start that.
Yeah. And I think not only is it nostalgic in that sense, but who in their 20s right now didn't grow up as a kid, or even most teenagers grow up as a kid and think, I want to be a Pokemon trainer.
Absolutely.
I wish that was real. And here we are, and I think that's why the college community has latched onto it so strongly, is because that's the reaction. Your first gut instinct is, whoa, this is actually a thing now.
Absolutely. It's been crazy, and especially since there's just kind of been a gap with it all, and it just kind of came out of nowhere, and so now everybody's latching on, and it'll be interesting to see with this upcoming semester and everything, just a new start to a new year, just how it really changes the way that the university works and how people are meeting other people and friendships are made. It's really interesting.
Definitely, definitely. Well, we're about out of time for this talking segment. We're going to switch back to some music here in just a second.
Sounds good.
And then when we come back, we can continue on the Pokemon Go a little bit by talking about some of the security things that have been popping up lately as far as... You know, because last week we covered the launch and all of that, and all of this week there's been a lot of security issues come up and concerns about it. So we can talk about that when we come back.
Along with some of the more interesting and intricate social interactions that have happened, mm-hmm. there's been a number of restaurants, colleges, schools, universities,
police stations, fire departments. I mean,
all the way up to Arlington National Cemetery making commentary on it. So we'll cover that as well.
Mm-hmm. So keep it locked all the way to the left. Thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here on Tech Talks. We will be right back. So with that, let's get right back into what we were talking about being Pokemon Go and a lot of the security issues that have sort of cropped up because of it.
All right. So I didn't know if you had somewhere that you wanted to head with this right away.
Well, the first and probably most concerning thing that people are concerned about is that whenever you sign in with, say, a Google account, whether or not it gives Pokemon Go, Niantic, and Nintendo access to your actual Gmail account and be able to read your emails and take over your account and such things as that. That would probably be the one thing I'd like to address first.
That seems really bizarre to me. if that would be the case, because I haven't seen anything about that yet. But it's just like signing in with any app. It's a verification process.
I think part of it is that there's been a lot of articles running around on Facebook about it. And it's been getting shared just out of a mass mindset, just sharing articles. And people are seeing it, and I don't know. It's a really strange thing. I personally don't think that it is a security issue, because I did get on, when I downloaded the app, I did actually go into my security features and look up the permissions that I gave the app. And all the permissions looked fairly standard. Now, if you had downloaded an APK version of the game before it had officially launched, first of all, there are two things I want to say to you all. Be careful, because Nintendo and Niantic are actually actively looking for people who are playing on an APK version of the app, and they are actively banning those people and their accounts, making you start over with a legal version, if you will. Also, if you downloaded a certain version of the APK before the official release of Pokemon Go, there is an APK out there that actually had malware to where it could jack your phone. In other words, hijack it and be able to take control of your phone, which may be where those articles are coming from, and that they're mistakenly addressing the pirated APK versions instead of the actual official Niantic app available in the app stores.
Another reason why you probably did not notice that the app seemed unusual to you is because they put out a patch yesterday that resolved a lot of the issues surrounding the privacy concerns, so that now all that it's asking for is the same stuff that it puts on your screen. It asks for contacts, storage space, your camera, which altogether seems kind of weird, but individually it all seems very sensible. It's interesting that it asks for contacts when the purpose for that yet isn't immediately clear or available, but I think there's a pretty clear thing that that's pointing towards, which is trading with your contacts.
Mm-hmm. Or it'd also be interesting if Niantic actually brings out person-to-person battles.
I'd love to see that.
You know, if you're able to do a gym battle and you're able to do interpersonal trades, it wouldn't take much more reworking in order to get to the point where, you know, all of a sudden we can battle, you know. So it's going to be interesting.
Certainly, certainly.
Cool. So, do we have anything else about Pokemon Go before we move on, or?
Let me see if I had anything else set up. Quick note that Jawbone's user data that they published this weekend showed that week to week through most of June and July, it's been pretty level. The average Jawbone user who has discussed Pokemon Go in their forums, that's the way that they've been able to track, because they can't directly see.
Now, remind me again, what exactly is Jawbones?
It's the wristwatches, the really thin ones that don't really have a screen on them.
Sort of like a Fitbit, kind
of. It's very similar to a Fitbit.
Okay, yes.
So, for those users that have Jawbones who have in some way discussed Pokemon Go on their forums, that's their best measuring mark for taking a guess at that, have seen their steps per weekend go from somewhere about 6,000, maybe 7,000 steps up to 11.
Wow, that's kind of surprising. 2%
jump.
That's really surprising.
Yeah, it's So again, I mean, I think we all knew that there was going to be an impact in people's walking and that kind of thing, but it's impressive to me to see how clear that jump is.
Mm-hmm. It's like we already talked about all the social implications, it's going to be really interesting to see whether or not, you know, because we did mention that parents are playing it too, whether or not families start taking, you know, in the evenings, instead of sitting down watching TV, go out and walk around and catch Pokemon instead.
Certainly. I mean, I've seen that kind of thing happen.
Yeah, week. I mean, I saw four siblings going around today, two of them college age, two of them middle school age, and they were playing, and they were just walking around, yeah. You know? So it's I just am still astonished by the sheer volume of people that have just picked this up and literally ran away with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, Grant, what is our next topic?
Did you want to talk about some of the social impact of this on a larger sense? Because Go has really revolutionized the way that we've had to think about a lot of things socially that have never come up before. Because this kind of augmented reality is something that really sets the tone for a lot of what we haven't had to encounter before. It's putting people in social situations that have never existed before this week, such as hunting Pokemon at a cemetery, mm-hmm. which is really a weird social taboo.
Yeah.
I mean, people really don't visit cemeteries.
Other than to, you know, pay respect.
To pay respect and mourn. And so the idea that there are people running around getting into cemeteries to catch rare Pokemon is a really, really awkward social taboo. It's something that, like, never before have people had the motivation to go out in droves and hang around at cemeteries for any reason at all, really?
I don't know what you're talking about. Clearly, we're just going back to the same time whenever we were worried about vampires, because I know for a fact people went out in droves to the cemeteries to make sure that nobody rose from the dead.
That's fair.
So, Pokemon Go is just making sure we're covering all our bases.
Yeah.
Looking out for national security. Speaking of national security, the Department of Homeland Security in Tennessee, actually 2 days after Pokemon Go came out, already has started an ad campaign called, you know, Wait to Go Until You Stopped. And it shows there's a poster of it, and we'll put it on our Facebook page later throughout the show so you can go there and look at it. And just as a buzz time for that, that is www.facebook.com/WRFL Tech Talks, is that right?
Yes.
And that is WRFLTEKTALKS. And you can go there to check out all of our articles and stuff that we've been talking about, as well as join a general conversation or ask us to research some stuff to talk about on air.
Yeah, certainly. If you have any suggestions for topics or anything that you feel like we haven't covered, you can feel free to reach out to us there.
Mm-hmm. So getting back on track to about the Tennessee Department of Homeland Security. There was also the Tennessee Highway Safety Program was also involved in this ad campaign. There were several organizations involved. And it showed someone playing Pokemon Go while driving, and there was a bird Pokemon, you know, in front of them that they were trying to catch, and behind it was a semi-truck getting ready to smash them.
Yeah.
So a real concern, and actually I saw an article today that the first traffic accident related death has occurred because of Pokemon Go.
Crashed into a tree,
is
that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so, you know, I
hate
to say it.
It's a very real concern, and people aren't taking it seriously. I don't know how else to say it. Anyone that is operating a motor vehicle while that impaired in that focused on something else is being incredibly reckless and wildly selfish.
It's the same as texting and driving. It's taking texting and driving to the next level.
Because it's interactive and it demands attention constantly in a way that not even texting does.
Mm-hmm.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to wrfl.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.
Do you have anything to add?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think when creating this game, they weren't anticipating people driving around with it. I mean, it's clearly made to be walking and adventuring with your friends. And so naturally, people are excited about it, so they're going to take it with them wherever they go and in their cars. But it's really sad to hear about someone being lost over this game when it should be a lot of joyful, fun interactions. So mm-hmm. I think it's honestly, I mean, people just need to be responsible with it and understand that there are heavy implications with it, just as with a lot of things in life. But it's definitely just be smart. And mm-hmm.
yeah.
When you're
well,
playing.
And Niantic kind of did anticipate this to an extent, because there are a couple things in game that people don't notice, such as any time that your speed is over 15, 20 miles an hour, somewhere in that range, you stop accumulating kilometers on your eggs. For example, if you're trying to hatch an egg in an incubator, those stop accumulating.
So it forces you to actually walk around or bike around to get that credit.
And yet, even despite those little in-game quirks that make it a little more difficult to play the game, people are still doing, driving and catching Pokemon in that way. And I'm glad you brought that up about how they felt about it and what their intent was, and that it's sad that we've lost someone over it, because there have also been some other things happening sort of on the negative side of Pokemon Go, such that robbers and muggers have been using the game to find targets and actively rob them of their personal possessions while they were out playing alone. So just another PSA, in addition to don't drive and play Pokemon Go, if you're playing Pokemon Go at night, make sure you're in a group of at least five or more.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you're traveling in a well-sized group that is not an easy target for anyone to try to attack you. And it's all about being smart, which is why they have that warning message on the front: be aware of your surroundings. Constantly when you load up the game, it's saying be aware of your surroundings. Don't put yourself in dangerous situations. Because we talked last week how this one this 19-year-old girl had been playing the game and was going down by jumped a fence to go down by the river to catch some water Pokemon, and instead found a human corpse. And so it's just, there's all sorts of, it sounds like there's a lot going on with this, but the reason there's so much of these negative stories is you have to consider that statistically this is normal. Just there's that many people playing Pokemon Go that many stories are making it, making news, and it's actually falling within normal statistics of anything like this.
Yeah, there's millions upon millions of people traveling farther than they normally do, walking around more at more hours of the day than they would normally do. So it really does make sense that these events are happening, as unfortunate as they are. And so, again, really the number one combat to this is just remaining aware.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So with that, we're going to take a short little break. Those 15 minutes seem to have flown by this time.
Really?
So we're going to take a short little break, and we'll be right back. And I think we can just keep on going until the 7:15 mark, and then we'll play music little bit.
Sure.
We'll discuss it over the break. So with that, keep it locked all the way to the left. Thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here at Tech Talks.
Who listens to the radio anymore? We do. WRFL Lexington.
Alrighty, guys. So we are actually going to go on and take a music break for y'all. And so up next, we have a brand new album here at the station, Pew Pew Pew, on their self-titled album of Pew Pew Pew. And we will be playing Mid-20s Skateboarder. So this should be a really awesome, it's been described as fun skate punk. It's really kind of cool. And just sort of uplifting, sort of what you would imagine like the soundtrack to a movie in the early 2000s whenever there's a bunch of skateboarders hanging around at a skate park. That's kind of what this reminds me of. So again, with that, thank you all for hanging out with us here on Tech Talks. Keep it locked all the way to the left. While we're on the music break, feel free to call in at 859-257-9735 and feel free to chat with us, ask us about what we've been talking about, or just generally interact with us. So with that, thanks again. All right, everybody, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in and checking out with us here on Tech Talks as we talk Pokemon Go and other articles. But I think we're done with Pokemon Go for the evening, correct? Let's try that again. We're done for the evening, yeah?
Yeah. Thanks for turning on the microphone there. But yeah, we're done with Pokemon Go, but that doesn't mean that we probably won't come back around to it. I'm certain we will. There will be more weird things that happen and more stories.
Well, it's like there are other things that already we could talk about. I just don't feel like talking about them this evening.
But I would like to spend the rest of the episode talking about one thing in particular, and that is NASA. Particularly, this week, they made it to Jupiter with the craft by the name of Juno, which is also kind of fun if you think about it in a mythology sense, what with Jupiter being the Roman equivalent of Zeus, and the fact that all of the moons and bodies around Jupiter are named for
children of Zeus, aren't they?
Lovers and children, but none of them are named after Juno, his wife. So we sent Juno to go check up on Jupiter. Yeah. Which is a little fun in-joke there that I always
found it funny how basically the Romans showed up and were like, hey, Greek mythology, that's kind of cool. We don't like the names. We'll have the same stories, the same people, and we'll just change the names.
Yeah, that'll work.
So instead of Zeus and Hera, we've got Jupiter and Juno.
Whoa.
Yeah, They'll never know.
That's pretty much exactly what they did. But Juno made it to Jupiter this week, and there's some absolutely stunning images that have come out of it. And I'll link through to the slideshow when we get to the end of the program. But there are some absolutely phenomenal images that have come in this week. And one of the most amazing things about Juno is that it's doing a pole-to-pole orbit. A lot of craft are launched near the equator and will do around the equator kind of travel, which is what you normally think of there. It actually takes more energy to go pole to pole than it does to go around the equator. And after many, many cycles of going around from one pole to the other, they're actually going to cut the angle in and go to the inside of the rings and fly between the rings and the outer edge of the planet itself. So that's going to produce some really, really great images. And one of the really cool things about it is that Juno has a really strong thermal camera on it. So we should be able to cut through all of the gas on the surface
and actually see
down into the core of Jupiter.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Jupiter being a gas giant has absolutely zero landmass, right?
Oh, no, it has landmass in the center.
Okay, I didn't know that.
It's a relatively small percentage of the whole body.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, how much is like 7/10 of Jupiter's planetary, I guess, mass is a gas and its atmosphere itself?
Yes.
Well, that's interesting.
It's actually kind of ambiguous exactly where the atmosphere ends and
the land begins,
the gaseous part of it begins, because it's when you think about that, because there is, when you're looking at Jupiter and you see the images of it, you're actually seeing the images of gas flowing across the surface because it's that dense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unlike on Earth, you don't see the gases flowing across the top of the Earth. But that's what you do with Jupiter.
So you're saying that Jupiter...
It doesn't really have an atmosphere. It's just like a wall of gas.
So that wall of gas isn't considered its atmosphere, I guess. Or is there a sort of ozone layer on top of those gases...
A little bit,
Are clear much in the way that Earth's is?
Yeah. In the same kind of way, there's a part where the atmosphere is thin enough that you could actually see through it, but that's a very small upper crust of it, so to say.
Mm-hmm. Man, I love this show. I always learn stuff I don't know.
So we're going to have a hopefully really good luck cutting down and actually being able to see hopefully all the way to the actual mass at the center of Jupiter. So that should be really exciting.
Hmm. Interesting. And then earlier over the break, we were actually talking about, if you all remember, we finally got a year ago to this day.
Yes.
We got the flyby of Pluto by Voyager, or not Voyager. Which
the craft was called New Horizons.
New Horizons, that's what it was. The New Horizons craft passed Jupiter and gave us all those super high-res images of Jupiter that we all got excited about. That happened a year ago. Just want to let that sit there and let everyone think, wow, it's been a year.
Yeah.
Look at that.
It seems weird to me. It seems like it was so recently. But
it did.
Because
I remember Stephen Colbert and Neil deGrasse Tyson actually talking about it.
Yeah.
I remember watching a YouTube video about how they were so excited about it and actually sat down and looked at the images of Pluto, and we saw that Pluto was actually more of a cream color than the blue-gray that we had been led to believe.
Certainly. Of course, the best image that we had of Pluto up until then was like a 10 by 10 pixel shot of it. It was really, really a horrible image, and it just looked like a gray blotch. But I had forgotten how nice those images
were.
How
detailed it was.
Yeah. I mean, this is a fantastic image that we got from New Horizons. And I'm really, really excited to get close and get that kind of image from Juno, and especially being able to see down to the core and maybe figure out if that landmass is, like, dense enough that it
if it's maybe just an asteroid or if it's porous or if it's solid like our nickel iron core.
Exactly.
It's going to be interesting to see, because does Jupiter have a gravity field? I'm sure it does.
And so
that would lend itself to implying that in the center of that landmass there's some sort of metal that is capable of generating a magnetic field,
possibly.
Well, I mean, I don't know, can gases generate a magnetic field? It would have to be something in the landmass in the center of it in order to have such a large magnetic field. I'd say there's a very high concentration of nickel and iron.
At the same time, with that kind of density, you could ionize a semi-solid core like that.
True.
So it is interesting. We know that there is like a core of Jupiter, but we don't really have a good sense of
what
it's made out of, and two, how solid that actually is. Because again, we talk about it as being like a solid mass,
but it could easily be porous like an asteroid.
But it kind of transitions, like like the cross section of the Earth. It's not like there's just a sudden point you hit and it goes from mantle to hard core.
It dips around, which may makes it seem like it's an irregular shape on the inside.
Yeah, which Jupiter might do the same thing at its core. We're not really clear on exactly what the mass is inside of it.
I would be really curious if it didn't have a uniform mass on the inside to generate such a large magnetic field. Because can we tell whether or not Jupiter's atmosphere is ionized?
I believe it has a magnetic field, but I'm not...
Well, I'm saying if it's due to the ionization, if the gases are ionized, which actually we should probably explain what ionization is.
So ionization is a process that happens, physics or chemistry, however you want to think about it, that when you expose gases to incredibly strong electronic and magnetic fields, it causes them to shed extra energy and electrons, or gain extra electrons, so that the whole mass of the gas becomes polarized, which means that it basically has a charge. It gives electric charge to the gas surrounding the core.
Yes. And that further leads me to wonder, you know, gases don't just become ionized. There has to be some sort of reaction happen. So what would, what caused it? If, surely, I don't know if there was some sort of electric storm that may have happened that ionized all those gases on Jupiter to create the magnetic field, or if, the core itself is solid and therefore generates its own magnetic field and therefore ionized all the gases because of the magnetic field.
Certainly, though, there is the big red spot on Jupiter, which is a hint that there's certainly a lot of energy in that atmosphere, regardless of where it's coming from. There's a tremendous amount of energy there. And this, I just double-checked, Jupiter's magnetosphere, the magnetic energy
sphere
there,
around it,
is 18,000 times larger than that of Earth.
Well, then again, Earth itself couldn't fit in the eye of Jupiter. It's the eye of Jupiter. I'm sorry, it wouldn't take up the whole eye of Jupiter.
Yeah.
I misspoke. Earth itself is smaller than the eye of Jupiter, and visually you can see that the eye of Jupiter is maybe 1/15 of that, just that surface on that one side. No matter how big that core is inside Jupiter, it's easily going to be several magnitudes larger than the entire Earth, which makes sense into why its magnetic field is so much stronger. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see which case is right.
They rate the magnetosphere aurora as having a power of about 100 terawatts. Let that sink in. That's a tremendous amount of energy.
Can our power grid just in the continental U.S. even generate that much terawattage?
Okay, so let's think about this for scale. Is that if you grab a light bulb off the shelf...
That uses 60 watts.
And that's if it's one of the old ones. If it's yes. one of the new ones, it might be using 5 or 10.
Yeah.
So let's talk about one of the old light bulbs that uses 60 watts.
Those incandescents that have the actual filaments in it.
Yeah.
That's 60 watts. We're talking about, you said how many?
That's 100 terawatts.
Okay.
So we're talking about using about 18 of those light bulbs, and that gets us up to...
About 100 watts.
That gets us up to a kilowatt.
Yeah, about 1,000 watts.
So then you take 1,000...
Times 1,024 times 1,024.
It'd just be a flat 1,000.
Well, 1,000, yeah.
So it'd be
sorry, I'm thinking of it in terms of CS.
To get us up from kilowatts to megawatts and then up to gigawatts.
And to gigawatts.
And then up to terawatts. And so that's... that would be...
Four magnitudes larger?
Yeah. So that would be... 18 billion light bulbs.
That's how much power that magnetosphere of Jupiter can generate. It can power...
18 billion light bulbs.
So I would say that our continental power grid can most definitely produce that much.
Somewhere on that.
But that's generated power. Yeah. You've got to consider also that this is naturally occurring electricity.
Just from the body spinning.
Just from Jupiter being Jupiter.
From it existing.
Yeah.
It's generating, and that's why we talk about the tremendous amount of power that this has as an object. It's just unbelievable, frankly.
That it is. Well, guys, look at that. The show has been flying by. It's already 7:30, so thank you all for tuning in and teching out with us. I believe we're going to go out the rest of this hour with music as... we have some other things going on. So thanks again for tuning in with us and having a blast talking Pokemon Go and space and all sorts of fun tech stuff. Anna, thank you so much for being with us today and hanging out and giving us your honest opinions.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a blast.
All righty. So with that, we are going to get back to the music and stick with it for the rest of the hour until 8. And that will be when we hand over control of the board to DJ Spencer Sell with the Party Panda Power Hour, coming at you from 8 to 10 p.m. tonight. But up next, we've got Mourn with their album Ha Ha He, and we will be hearing their song The Unexpected. So keep it locked all the way to the left at your only alternative left, WRFL Lexington.